Hello once again, dear Mooties, and welcome to the Essential Mooting Guide, the podcast, as brought to you by the Moot Court Society and the Faculty of Law of Universitas Pajajaran. This week, we're looking at another mini-episode where we'll be jumping into the realm of public international law once again with none other than our chairman himself, Mr. Ahmad Sumarta Praja, or better known as FICO. You may remember him from our episode 2 on the topic of different moot courts. However, today, he'll be teaching us about legal interpretation and the forms of it within international law according to the 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. Now, before we dive into that, we do have a special announcement for everyone listening, especially those interested in joining Moot Court. But we'll be saving this announcement for the end of the podcast. Just a little hint though, it does have something to do with the law of the sea and new opportunities for you, so be sure to stick around for that. And now, without further ado, Ahmad Sumarta Praja on the VCLT 1969 and interpretation.
Greetings and salutations, my fellow mooters. My name is Ahmad Rishad Sumarta Praja, the chairman of Universitas Pajajaran's Moot Court Society in its law faculty, as well as a former delegate in a few public international law moot courts. In this mini-episode, I will be explaining to you the basics of legal interpretation in the field of public international law. My explanation will revolve around the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties of 1969 and the writings of experts in this particular field. I would like to remind the listeners that in no way this mini-episode is an authoritative source of legal theory, and that I am only explaining what I know from my brief experience in the public international law moot court sphere, as well as my studies in the International Law Specialization Unit in the Faculty of Law. I always advise to my juniors that reading and finding things out for yourself is better than any classroom, or in this case, any podcast. So, without further ado, let's begin. Before we learn about legal interpretation in the sense of public international law, we have to understand what legal interpretation stands for. Theories in the practice of law always have their roots firmly in place of philosophy, both in the legal sense and in the conventional sense. Likewise, the definition of legal theory very much so often depends on who you're asking, as it may differ from one expert to another depending on the legal doctrine that they concur to. Personally, I always use a boiled down or simplified version of legal interpretation, defining it as an activity that gives legal meaning to a legal text. Although disagreements often occur in regards to this exact definition, all scholars seem to agree that interpretation in the legal context, to all students of law, is a primary activity and could never ever be considered as a secondary one. Why, you say? What does it mean to be a primary activity? Well, simply speaking, it is a primary activity because every time you read a legally binding instrument, such as a law or a contract, there will always be a split second where your brain is trying to figure out what that passage in that legally binding instrument means. If you agree, well, congratulations. You just did legal interpretation, albeit in its most rudimentary form. Now, when we talk about public international law and its roots of legal interpretation, we need to consider two things. First, that legal interpretation in international law is governed by Articles 31 through 33 of the VCLT. And second, that it is always, will be, a cause of dispute. I will now elaborate on the first point. So if you read the VCLT, you can find that there are five types of interpretation. A. Contextual. B. Textual. C. Special. D. Supplementary. And E. Multilingual. The first two types or methods of interpretation can be seen in Article 31 and its first three paragraphs. So, meaning Article 31, Paragraph 1, Paragraph 2, and Paragraph 3. The textual interpretation is when you give a meaning to the text only based on your linguistic foreknowledge, and it is usually the first thing that you resort to. Contextual interpretation, on the other hand, is when you weigh in other factors, such as subsequent agreements and practices, both at the time of the drafting or conclusion of the treaty and when it is being applied in a given dispute. For example, if you see the Chicago Convention about civil aviation, in its Article 8, there is a rule that special permission must be obtained by pilotless aircrafts in order to enter into another state's territory. Now, if you use textual interpretation, and only textual interpretation, using the basic definition of pilot as a person who operates the controls of an aircraft, drones cannot be considered as a pilotless aircraft, and therefore do not need special permission. However, if you add contextual nuance or contextual interpretation by weighing in practices of countries, such as their legislation that requires special permits for drone pilots to enter into their territory, or maybe research papers saying that drones are more likely to be involved in aerial crashes, you could say that drones are in fact in the category of pilotless aircrafts and therefore need special permission. It all depends on the nuance. Now, the next two types of interpretation are very simple to explain. Thirdly, the special method of interpretation could only be used if all parties, and I say all parties, agree to give a new meaning to a word in a convention or legal instrument as governed in Article 31, Paragraph 4 of the VCLT. And supplementary means, fourthly, is referring to the interpretation of a treaty with its preparatory text or the record between the countries during the negotiation process, or commonly referred to as travaux préparatoires. Now, what's interesting is the final method of interpretation, contained within Article 33 of the VCLT, namely multilingual interpretation. This method is used if conventions have multiple texts with multiple languages, with all or some of them being equally authoritative. This method was used in the Diallo case, adjudged by the International Court of Justice, where parties wanted to interpret the statute of the International Court of Justice, which had English and French as equally authoritative texts. The judges ruled in favor of the French text because, in a contextual sense, it was more suitable. Now, what's peculiar from that sentence? From that case, we know that, contextually speaking, the French text prevailed. So, from that, we know that you can use multiple methods of interpretations in one argument when dealing with one passage in a convention. It all depends on the nuance of your argument, as well as your research capacity, and finally, the presentation of your argument. Through my experience in regards with moot courts, you will always use interpretation, either in your memo or your oral pleadings, and oftentimes you will use it in both. So it is always a good thing to hone your skills in the art of legal interpretation. I personally recommend reading the VCLT in its entirety, especially in the section of legal interpretation, as well as its commentary, to get a better grasp after this presentation of the basics. So that wraps it up from my presentation. I hope this proves useful for those of you who wants to pursue a moot court career on campus. I say thank you and stay healthy.
And with that, we arrive at the end of this brief but wonderful breakdown of legal interpretation within international law. FICO helped us to provide a basic understanding of legal interpretation and its presence in Articles 31, 32, and 33 of the 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. We learned about the five types of interpretation: contextual, textual, special, supplementary, and multilingual, and how each one might come into play within a dispute or event in international law. And with that, we wrap up our episode. But before we say goodbye, we do have that special announcement as promised. We would like to let all of you Mooties know, whether you're new or old, that the Moot Court Society will be participating in the International Tribunal for the Law of the Sea International Moot Court Competition, also known as the ITLOS IMCC. This is a competition hosted by the Brazilian Institute for the Law of the Sea, and this year, we've decided to participate for a number of reasons, but mainly because the competition will be fully online and completely new normal and quarantine friendly. This moot court is also on the topic of the Law of the Sea, something we're very familiar with in Asia Cup and have much experience training and teaching. So if you were disappointed to hear Asia Cup's cancellation this year, or if you're simply looking for your next or first team to join, check out our social media on Twitter and Instagram to find out more, and you can find our handles for either in the episode caption. That's it for this week, guys. We'll see you next week to hear our last episode in our practical mini-series to speak about legal writing with a special guest from Universitas Erlangga and a wonderful guest from right here at Universitas Padjajaran. Both are veteran Mooties, and you don't want to miss out on it. See you guys then. But until next week, may it please the court.